is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It is great to be with you today here at Bible Home Church. We're going to continue our series, Gone Berserk, Part 4 today. Gone berserk, what does it mean? Well, of course, berserk means to go nuts, to go crazy, to go out of your mind. And today's apostate church sure has done that. Praise God, though, we've got the Bible, we've got God's Word. He tells us how we should act, how we should compose ourselves, what kind of people we should be in the last days. And, you know, God never changes. The way Christians should be today is the same way God's people have been for hundreds and hundreds of years. We should be faithful, we should be obedient, and we should put Jesus Christ first. This is been called the me generation. Me, 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 me. But I believe that Christians will put God first. And Jesus, in fact, said that the greatest commandment is to love God. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. That means you don't come in second. It's a holy tie with your neighbor. You know, a lot of folks don't understand that. I remember a singer named Whitney Houston sang a song some years ago, and boy, was it ever a smash hit. Forget the title exactly, but it was along the lines of the greatest love of all is to learn to love yourself. That's the greatest love of all. Every time I heard that song, I thought, what a beautiful melody, a beautiful voice, and what a horrible satanic message. The greatest love of all is to love yourself. You know, friends, that's why we've got the prisons packed with inmates today. People love themselves more than they love God, and they love themselves more than they love their neighbor. They don't mind at all stealing, robbing, raping, cheating, deceiving, defrauding their neighbors. Because it's the me generation. Me, me, me. I want this. MTV, one of the most ungodly networks on television that promotes the most filthy of music, used to have an ad, and it would show young people, and all they would be saying was, I want my MTV. I won't. I won't. And you know, I thought that was a brilliant advertisement. I thought those commercials were absolutely ingenious, right out of Satan's store of ingenious information and knowledge. Satan, no doubt, puts that into somebody's mind to get people to pay attention to MTV. Make them want. It's interesting, though, that Jesus had a different concept. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't say, I don't want to die. I don't want this. I want this. I want that. He said, nevertheless, whatever thou will is, God. Whatever your will is, God. The devil, of course, was given the power for a short time. There in the wilderness, he and Jesus were together for just a short time. And he took Jesus up to a very high mountain peak. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, fall down and worship me, and all this will be yours. I suppose he wanted to arouse in Jesus that same spirit. I won't. You see, Jesus was both man and God at the same time, fully God. But he had all of the temptations that we would have today. What a temptation. Fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all of these things, all of these kingdoms. Was the devil lying? Were not those kingdoms his to give? Yes, they were for a short time. He is God of this world. He is the prince of this world for only a short time, but there it is. He could have done it. And Jesus would have had instant gratification. That's what most people want today. Instant gratification. They don't want to work for it. They don't want to endeavor. They don't want to put out too much energy, time. They don't want to use up too much spiritual resources or brain power. Just give me what I want right now today. Jesus could have had all that too. But he told the devil, don't tempt the Lord thy God. That's what the word says. Jesus gave the devil back the word of God. The scriptures read, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And even though Jesus was saying, even though I may be in the form of a man, I voluntarily relinquished my majesty and dignity of heaven for a short while so that I could come to earth and live and die and be resurrected. Nevertheless, I am, he was pointing out the devil, the Lord thy God. But again, look at all the kingdoms of the world. If they can only have been his, all he had to do was say, I want this. Yeah, that's what I want. But he didn't. What an example for you and me today, my friends. That's the problem. That's why we have this church establishment gone berserk today. They all have their wants. I was talking to Dr. Peter Ruckman some years ago, a great man of God from Florida, and I asked Dr. Ruckman, why is it that these evil men are so dead set on perverting the Word of God with these false Bible versions? You know what he told me? He said, Tex, it's because in every case, they find something in the Bible that's not the way they want it. If they're a homosexual, they don't want those passages that talk about Sodom and Gomorrah and what God did because of the homosexual evil acts going on there. If they're men of a vile temper and an angry disposition, they don't want those verses in there that talk about how we're supposed to be meek and loving and kind to our neighbors. He said, whatever it is, if they're guilty of lying or adultery, whatever their fault is, they say, well, that shouldn't be in the Bible. We've got to change this or that. I believe that. Their wants take precedence over what God's Word says. You know, sometimes I read something in the Bible and right away my sin nature says, ooh, wish that wasn't there. That means I have to obey God and not my flesh. And you know, immediately I catch myself and say, Tex, you better shut up. You better get back to God. You better get on your knees and thank God he's given you direction here. And shut up, flesh. Sometimes you just have to tell your flesh to shut up. I want this. No, shut up. The Bible says this, and go with the Bible. There are a lot of things we want. Our eyes sometimes are bigger than our plates, what our plates can hold. Have you ever gone in a cafeteria where everything is free? Well, it doesn't mean you can eat everything you want. You'd be 600 pounds if you probably ate everything you wanted. Or some of us would be. I know I would be. I guess some stay thin no matter what. But you know, Satan will get a hold of those people too if they don't watch out. Food may not be their addiction, but it might be something else. Everybody's got a weakness that Satan can exploit, and he knows what those weaknesses are. Could be music. Had a man one time, he wanted to get close to God, but he says, the one thing I will never give up is my New Age music. I go home at night. I turn on my New Age music, and I listen to it, and I become one with the universe. Oh, yes. New Age music. It was instrumental music. What harm could it do? It brought him into a relationship with nature in such a way that he forgot God. It was evil. He knew it was evil. But he said, I just can't give it up. And I've had people, young people tell me, I could never give up rock and roll. I want my rock and roll. Oh, yeah. They're addicted to it. And that's a sin. They've made it into their idol. Had a man one time, he invited me and Wanda into his house and gave us dinner. Very nice man. And as we looked around his house, he had these figurines. They were really idols. And I knew what they were because, you know, having lived in the Far East like I have, I knew these were the same kind of devil figurines of devil dogs. Yes, of dogs, devil dogs that you find when you enter the Buddhist and other pagan temples. And without me saying anything, as we passed that part of his house where he had these two very large, they were about 4 foot high, figurines of these devil dogs, demon dogs, he suddenly thought, ooh, this is Tex Mars. And he said, I know what you're going to say, Tex. You're going to say these shouldn't be in my house. They're evil, right? And I looked at him and I said, I haven't said anything. He said, yeah, but I know what you're thinking. I said, well, I just laughed. I haven't said anything and I haven't had really time to think. But if you want me to, I'll go ahead and comment and think about it. He says, no, don't say a word. He's, but a good friend of mine gave me these and I just can't bear to part with them. Devil idols. He couldn't bear to part with them. They may have been worth some money. I don't know. I want my devil idols. I want my devil dogs. That's what he was really saying. And I looked at him, and I think he was actually inviting me to say something. So I went ahead and did. Me being imprudent as I am, I said, well, dear friend, you know what the Bible says? That if you bring evil things into your house that are accursed, then you will become accursed like those things. Yeah, I know it says that, he says. I've read that. And that really pricked my conscience. But I just can't bear to part with my devil dogs. He didn't say devil dogs, but he said his dogs. Well, okay. You've got the Bible and you got your dogs. So choose. The Bible gives us choices. Oh, yes. God, for a short while, you can actually make choices. Now, there will come a time when you can make no more choices. God will make your choice for you. He gives us all a certain portion of eternity, of time. Notice that I said a portion. Very, very brief, very fleeting, very skimpy piece of time. And you can do all sorts of things as long as other men allow you. You can do the most horrible things and get away with it for a time, for a season. And then comes payday. How much have you done for God? What have been your fruits? And then you've got to pay up. There's a penalty for everything. There's a price. There are consequences. And many of us who had the most will have the least given to us. And some of us who had the least will have the most. I think that's very, very scriptural. And sometimes the first shall be last and the last shall be first. You see, because God is a contrarian. He's very contrary to what you and I may think. You may think that is unfair. In fact, Jesus said, you know, that it was very difficult, very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. His disciples were absolutely flabbergasted. Why, if the rich can't get into the kingdom of heaven, as blessed they are by God, how could we get in heaven? That's what a lot of people think today. I even hear that by these preachers. They say, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so have so much money. It's because they're blessed by God. I hope they're telling the truth, because brother and sister Jones or Smith, or whatever their name is, they could be blessed by the devil. The devil has plenty of money on this earth to give to you. He'll arrange for you to have a lot of riches if you obey him. Sure, it might be they're blessed by the devil. Now, I know there are some people that are blessed by God. God can give you money. He can give you material things. And he expects you to use those for his kingdom. Oh, I'm not saying you shouldn't drive a nice car and have a nice home. That's not what I'm saying. But if God requires you to get rid of that car because it comes between you and Him, or that house, or whatever you have, your fancy clothes, you better do it. He may never require it of you, but then He might. What if He does? Are you going to say, no, Lord, this is what I want? I want my gold. That's what the young rich ruler said. I want to keep what I have, Lord, because Jesus told him to take everything he had, sell it, and come and follow Him. Jesus, come and follow me. Take what you have. Give it all to the poor. Oh, that was tough. That was hard. He left very sad. He couldn't do that. You see, Jesus had offered him riches unparalleled. No one, no king has ever had the riches, truly spiritual riches, that Jesus offered this young man, this young ruler. But he had these material things and he just couldn't part with them. Now, I really believe this. I'm just going to tell you something. I really wonder if that had not been his heart, would Jesus have required him to give them up? God never said, Solomon, sell the palace. Sell everything. Go and live as a pauper. He never told Solomon that. Solomon had great riches. Why didn't God tell Solomon, you got to be poor? Evidently, there's nothing wrong with riches unless you make it wrong. And therein lies the principle. For it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. God never said it was money. Money is just a thing to buy things with. It's a useful tool. But if you love it more than God, it becomes your idol. Well, today we're going to see why people have gone berserk. I think their leaders have gone after money. I think their leaders have said, I won't. And that's very sad. A long build up today, but I'll tell you that I believe that is the number one reason for people going berserk. It's because of their wants. And because they refuse to say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Maybe you disagree with me. I love to hear from you. But please give me scriptures. It's always better. Don't just swear at me and throw stones at me. Say, hey, Tex, check this out. I like to be a good Berean. So give me the scriptures if you disagree with me, please. But you may agree with me. And if you do, I'd like to hear from you. I always appreciate encouragement. If you're led by the Lord to give us love gifts, tithes, offerings, we need your help. Oh, we may get along without your help. That's true. If you've never given to this ministry, but you've been blessed by our weekly messages, maybe you'll change your mind and give. Now, we'll probably get along without you, possibly. We won't be able to reach quite as many people without your love gifts. But the question is, if we can get along without you, and we might be able to, can you get along without serving God and giving to His work? That's the real question. Hey, we got a song for you today. Sandra, what have we got over there ready to play? Someday it will be better, the cathedrals. And then we just have 5 or 6 minutes today for this segment of Gone Berserk.
I like it already.
Jesus said, I believe Him. Life will be sweeter someday. I'm gonna trust Him. Never doubt Him, no matter what the fall. goodness of old, and I'll be happier.
I think he wants to play one. Okay. All right, go ahead and play some.
Well, that was the Cathedral singing Life Will Be Sweeter. I gave you the wrong title, unfortunately, but that was Life Will Be Sweeter Someday by the Cathedrals. And now for the remainder of our time today with you, we're going to continue our series Gone Berserk.
Now, there was a little problem, though. I understood that this was a Christian ministry focused on the family. I read the books. There were everything that I had read about psychology. You see, I used to teach psychology at the university level. I taught college courses on psychology. I took graduate school courses in psychology. And that's what I got from these books. Trash, garbage psychology, which I have already renounced years ago when I came back to Jesus and gave him my whole life. I told the Lord then that psychology, I realized, was absolute trash and nonsense, and I would have nothing to do with it. I renounced everything that I even ever taught in psychology. And here was psychology. That was bad enough, but I couldn't find Jesus in there. How do you cure alcoholism? You tell people to go to 12-step programs. That was James Dobson's answer. 12-step programs. There's a problem in that, of course, because 12-step programs tell people they can worship Satan or Buddha or themselves or Mohammed or the devil. That's right. You can worship the devil and go to 12-step programs. It only says that you give your life, promise to give your life over to a higher power, not to Jesus. Necessarily. You just give your life to a higher power. In fact, they have a definition of God in the AA 12-step programs. Here it is. God as I understand him. God as you understand him. That's God. No, friends. God is the one who is described and defined and revealed in the Holy Word of God. He's not the one who you understand. Your understanding can be wrong. Friends, you better get your understanding in proper alignment with the Word of God. Now, I couldn't find any Bible scripture. I went through those books, and friends, I don't believe in those two books that the Word of God was mentioned more than four or five times in two entire books. I couldn't find any Jesus in there. You see, I know how to cure alcoholism. It said, it's called get on your knees, plead with Jesus to save you, to clean up your life. Turn your life over to God. He'll do it. Trust God, and He'll clean you up. In fact, you don't even have to tell God to take alcohol out of your life. Just give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. And after that, I'm telling you, you'll want to get rid of alcohol. You won't want it around. You'll hate it. And you'll be begging Jesus to forgive you of your past sins, which He'll be delighted to do. But believe me, people sometimes say to me, how can I quit being an alcoholic? I don't even tell them to ask Jesus to get alcohol out of their life.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.